going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let me be the first to wish you a happy afternoon. Welcome back to our coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. And our coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group, Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by the Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at TQSmarketing.com. I'm Nate Geary. With me, Derek Kramer and Zach Jones.
Oh, is that Radio Zach Jones?
It's Radio Zach Jones.
Let me be the first to say, I hope you have the afternoon you wish to have. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
To me or just
to anyone?
Zach?
Just to everybody. Everybody,
you said you want to be the first to wish a good afternoon. I want to wish
happy
people
afternoon.
Happy afternoon. I want to wish you the afternoon you want to have.
It's rainy out there.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
It's not great.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
So Mel Kiper showed up.
Good he for did.
Him.
Good for him.
Good
yeah.
for him.
Lou Riddick showed up with a great suit.
He did.
That's good.
Lou Riddick looks sharp.
That is good.
Out in the newsroom, I think that's Radio's Joe Cali out there.
He's
is
ready
that,
to go.
Is that Radio's Joe Cali?
He's ready to go. Someone tell me if Royals was taken to open up the fourth round so I can move on. So I can emotionally move on. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do this in Tennessee up at 103.
Do we know if the clock has started yet or not? Or are we like the first round, we're going to wait 7-8 minutes before we're actually
this is where
Tennessee's
your intestinal fortitude is tested.
I'm ready to go.
Tennessee is technically on the clock. So
let's
they,
go.
They yeah, have a go. Whole marching band
oh,
out there.
Oh,
but,
boy.
Yep,
they have a whole marching
band. What yep. are we doing?
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They are not starting this
that,
thing
that
on time
that is the entire Wisconsin
all.
Marching band. What is going on here?
Rodgers got an interesting fit. White jeans, that's certainly a choice. Certainly
no,
a
that's
choice,
a man
Roger.
Who's about to leave.
It is white jeans, a hat on.
Yeah. Tucked in long sleeve polo.
He's, yeah.
he's
done.
He's going golfing.
Cooked. He's going either golfing or getting on a plane.
He's cooked. All right, so as we officially get underway here, Tennessee's on the clock. It's Tennessee, Jacksonville, New York, New England, Jacksonville. So Jacksonville, two picks here out of the first five. We'll see, you know, maybe that's a position the Bills could look to potentially trade up in. I would not expect we wait till 132, but
agreed.
Maybe we'll be wrong.
Yeah, I'd probably suspect like 120 is a good range for
Let's
them.
Let's see if we try to go to break again just as the Bills trade up. That was fun yesterday.
That was so good.
That was
good.
A lot of fun.
That was so good yesterday. It was perfectly timed.
I was trying to time it out so that when we got back, we would be able to just roll with whoever was going to get selected, and then
and the Bills were like,
immediately,
it's us, dog.
that is
going to be us, bud.
The Bills were like, no, you're going to come right back because surprise. And surprise it was indeed. Nobody thought that the Bills were going to take that big of a swing and trade both of those second-round picks. They used one of them to fall into the third round. But it also comes at the cost of the pick they would have been at today, which would have been 109. And that would have been very early here
mm-hmm.
into round number four.
I'll say this, though. At least my guy Xavier Watts finally got off the board last night. Pick number 96 to Atlanta.
I was mystified that he was still hanging around.
It's a good fit. Him and Jesse Bates back there. I mean, it's going to be a nice little fit for Atlanta.
That's nice. Their defense has to be great next year.
Yeah, they've put some resources.
Not good. Has to be great.
Well, it doesn't have to be great. It has to be a lot better, though, because it is young.
But you got an all-pro corner already in Terrell. Now you've got the safeties. You put a lot into the pass rush, including Judon. Yep. That's got to be a great defense. Looking at other GM's name is
Fontenot. And a defensive coach. And a defensive coach.
They've got to be awesome. They've got to be. That has got to be the unit that saves them.
Youth might also be a little bit of a downfall if you've invested so much in your defense.
Could be, absolutely.
You know, maybe there's a little bit of like a building block. Top 15 defense, though, has to be the finish.
Top 15 defense. You also look at their offense, too. Drake London really emerged last year as a legitimate number one wide receiver. Gets a ton of catches, a lot of yards. Bijan Robinson may have had the quietest 1,400-yard rushing season I've ever seen, purely because Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley decided to reach another level. And then Penix showed you something last year that you can get excited about, at least.
They're showing Nick Nash is a still-available player. Do you know Nick Nash is a seven-year senior?
What? No.
He's going to be 26 years old when the season starts.
So I never want to hear anyone be like, yeah, but he led the nation in catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns. Cool. He's 40. Why would I go for him?
Zachary, calm down.
As a wide receiver, I'm being generous.
He's going to be maybe the last player born in the 90s other than Shuck.
He was born in 2000. He's 24.
Damn it. Oh. Wait, Nick Nash?
Yeah.
Not according
Nick
to
Nash.
This.
No.
No, that's not right.
That's not right.
San Jose State, right?
Yeah, yep. It says he's 25.79, 8 years old.
Time to look up Nick Nash.
Yeah. Jack Sawyer on the board.
August 2nd, 2004. So Brugler mixed up his ages on that one.
Man, it's too bad that he wasn't that
old. Wikipedia has him as July 8th, 1999.
Wait, what?
Nobody knows.
Nobody has any idea. He's not a real person. He's not a real person. No one knows.
It's a conspiracy. We don't know his real age. So many numbers here.
That's awesome that the league might draft a guy that nobody actually knows.
Wait, is that Radio's Trevor Howard out there?
I'm sorry. I need to see Nick Nash drafted.
Here we go.
I need to know.
Like, the pick is in.
Like how old he is, who he is. That's incredible that we had, what, four different birthdays?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
All right, the pick is in for 103.
I need the birth certificate now.
That's amazing.
Starting the fourth round here at 103, Tennessee's pick is in.
Holy.
Wondering, too, you know, we talked a lot about some of these guys that are drifting back. It almost feels like Jack Sawyer's probably got to be one of these early picks.
He should be. I mean, we mentioned it in hour one where, you know, he probably does not have the potential of really any of these guys.
A high-end potential, right.
But the floor is probably a pretty good rotational edge rusher. You'll be happy with it. He did play on Ohio State. I think he was a second-team All-Big Ten guy. It's never a bad idea to go to the national championship winning team and draft their players. It's really not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, running back – the drop-off after the top four or five guys, there was a drop. But there's going to be some running backs in this draft. You know, Dylan Sampson from Tennessee is a name. Jordan James from Oregon.
Jaden Blue of Texas.
Yeah, Trevor Etienne, Georgia. So there's plenty of names available at running back. If the Bills or anyone else, I do wonder if this is maybe where we start to see a run on some running backs, some safeties. Not a lot of safeties taken in this draft. This is not really considered a linebacker draft, so I'm unsurprised that you know there hasn't really been a big run on linebackers. I think one of the worst picks of the day yesterday though was Cincinnati Bengals.
25-year-old linebacker. That is. Tough scene for them.
Yeah, Demetrius Knight Jr. from South Carolina, who struggles in coverage.
And I know a lot of people have brought up the age thing is because of COVID. You know, teams aren't shying away from it. It's still not great if you're going to be 30 years old at your second contract. So it is a wide receiver for Tennessee. It is not, though, Jalen Royals.
It's Shamir Dyke.
Out of Florida. I am starting to wonder about Royals' foot. He was open about it causing him some issues for the pre-draft process. He missed most of the second half of the year. Is that a concern for teams that maybe it is going to be a lingering thing throughout his career? I didn't see anything on it, but, I mean, more and more receivers are going ahead of him.
and guys that I'm very surprised by.
Well, Dyke also does have one of the faster 40 times of this receiver class. He ran a 4.34 and a 1.51 on his 10-yard burst. 6 foot, 196, probably projects as one of those guys that is a slot receiver that will
With breakaway speed.
A little bit of a vertical route.
Kind of like the guy that got drafted in the first round from them last year, and Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
Kind of the bigger slot, but still has the speed.
Mm-hmm. He's a little shorter. He's at just a clean 6 foot, but this is one of those where it's like, okay, you're trying to find another elite trade player.
I don't mind the Titans draft. Obviously, they get Cam Ward first overall. Oladeju, the edge from UCLA, one of my draft crushes. Kevin Winston Jr. No. from Penn State, one of my draft crushes. Mm-hmm. A nice little draft here for the Tennessee Titans.
I like the Winston Jr. pick a lot for them. I really do.
It's weird seeing Peter Schrager on ESPN.
Yeah, I've still not gotten used to that yet.
So they made a pair of trades their day is actually not even close to done anymore. They originally went into the draft with 5 draft picks.
That's right. We talked about that yesterday, that they had moved back and
they now
that was
have 5 left to go.
Good for them.
They got up to 9 draft picks.
Good for them. They're not a good team, so they got to build it up.
It was because the second round.
I was surprised.
That was where it was because they were picking very early and a team jumped.
Minnesota had the fewest first round, the fewest total picks of any team. Four. Mm-hmm. They haven't really done anything to get more.
No,
I thought that they were the prime candidate in the first round.
I agree.
Minnesota still has four picks,
and that was the team we were talking about. Is like it's there. It's 24th overall. They'll move back, pick up
picks. Did they make a pick yesterday?
They did make a pick yesterday. They had a compensatory selection, the 38th pick of round 3.
Oh, boy.
So it was Ty Felton, wide receiver out of Maryland.
Yes, okay,
So they ended the third round. That was their first pick, was ending the third round, or their second overall pick. That's tough. They don't have a ton of needs, though, I guess. So maybe they're just like, we'll make our picks, we'll add some guys here, and then we'll go to next year.
I think because of the offensive line class as well, of like they wanted to make sure they got someone quickly.
Right, and then
they tempted all trade down offers and said, nope, there's an offensive lineman here that we know is not going to be available. They end up taking Donovan Jackson and pretty much sealed their fate for, we're going to only have 4 selections this year.
This is the Jaguars. Jaguars have had another pick, right? With the trade up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is only their second pick.
Hang on. Let's take a look at Jacksonville and really get into a deeper dive on the Jaguars here. Yeah, because of the fact that they had the Travis Hunter trade, but they have had 2 other selections, both of them back-to-back in the third round.
Okay. So, compensatory.
No. Caleb Bransaw and Wyatt Millen were the 24th and 25th picks. One of them, oddly enough, coming from Minnesota, the trade that they had.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then this one from the last one when they took Millen, it was because of a trade with Houston.
So, the first running back of the day taken off the board, Bashal Tuten out of Virginia Tech, goes to the Jaguars at 104 and kind of a bigger, heftier back, 5'9", 206 out of Virginia Tech. So, another running back taken, but not of the names that I think a lot of people were expecting them.
No.
Where's Cam Scadaboo?
I can't wait for whatever fan base gets him. They are going to be losing their minds. Like, the preseason is going to be so much fun.
He's slow.
He is so slow. But he does, like, everything that old school football fans love, which he's a bruiser. He's a big guy.
I really think he gets into the open. At best.
I 100% agree. But he'll get in the open space and just immediately get caught. But, man, and I'm saying this as a Texas fan, his performance against Texas was awesome. It was awesome.
It was a great game.
Hey, like, if you were a Cam Scadaboo fan, you left that with tears in your eyes. Like, he was
this is my
awesome.
Magnum opus.
This is my boy. He was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun. It's just tough when your best trait is he's a football player. That's not great. That's not great. But it will get you drafted. Just not high, and you're going to have to work your tail off to make a team. Jaden Blue, the guy I mentioned out of Texas, his biggest problem is the Bills, I don't even think, would ever be in on him purely, even if they were in for a running back, purely for the fact that he fumbles the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there were points last year in Texas. I don't typically care all that much for turnovers. It means you're not trying at times for me.
What?
You got to try for big play. You know, do what you got to do. Sometimes picks will happen, what have you.
Oh, okay.
But fumbles are one of them I care about, and especially for running backs, and he was fumbling the ball a lot.
And it just, it got to a point. I mean, Trey Wisner took over the running back spot, and he opened the season as running back five.
Mm-hmm.
And injuries were happening. Blue should have been the guy, and his turnover issue really caused him problems. His game, though, against Clemson was awesome.
Giants now on the board. Their pick is in, and we talked a little bit yesterday about their draft. I mean, solidifying one of the best draft, I mean, one of the best defensive lines in the NFL.
It's
getting
disgusting.
Darius Alexander yesterday, and obviously Abdul Carter in the first round. They have Dexter Lawrence.
They picked up the fifth-year option on
Kayvon Thibodeau. Yeah. It's a very impressive unit on the front on that defensive line. At the very least, they're going to get after the quarterback next year, even if they don't end up winning a lot of games.
I was going to say, do we have the schedule? No, that was set for an announcement.
Oh, we did get the schedule reveal.
Yeah, we got the reveal of the schedule reveal.
Yeah.
So I would like to see, like, hey, who plays the Giants this year, and how wrecked are your quarterbacks going to be? Who are those quarterbacks going to be that are going to
get wrecked? Jackson Dart starts this year?
Yep. Yep.
No.
Right out of the gate?
Yep.
Over Russell Wilson?
Yep.
Brian
Daboll's got to save his job. If they win six games with Jackson Dart at quarterback and he looks okay, he saved a job.
I think he's going to start in like week five.
They don't have enough time.
They have enough time.
I think they picked Russell Wilson as a good mentor figure, good backup quarterback in case Dart gets hurt. They are trying to save their jobs. And with that defensive line, the defense will keep him in games. You have Malik Nabers. You have Darius Slayton. Dart, just don't be bad and continue to progress as the year goes on, and we'll be here for another year. And I think ultimately if I'm Jackson Dart, you want Dable to stay another year, because if he gets fired and you get another coach in there, may not be an offensive guy. It may not even be a guy that likes you.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Cam Scatabu.
Oh, my God.
Going to the New York Giants. So two running backs in a row going off the board here.
He goes earlier than we thought, Derek. Wow.
Yeah, you did say sixth. What I like about him is who's the kid that took over their running back room last year? Tyrone Tracy.
Tyrone Tracy.
Like him a lot. I think he'll have a that'll be a nice 1-2 punch in the Giants.
We're going to try a good old thunder and lightning combo here.
I like it.
Like the Giants teams back in the day.
Oh, man. Oh, hey, that's so much fun.
Remember when we had Brandon Jacobs?
I had so much fun.
And Ahmad Bradshaw.
I did not think he'd go this high. Again, his physical trait is he's a football player. That's what it is. But he also is going to be a guy that
he looks so slow.
If he can figure it out, oh man, he'll do everything for you. He may not do it in Elite 11, but he's going to do everything for you.
Is that Alfred Collins catching him in that highlight?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's this play right here. Sorry to everyone listening to us, but it's a catch he makes against Texas. Like he's just he does everything for you. Does everything.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Listen, the Giants have a really interesting decision as they move closer to the season here, and like they're gonna have a good defense. I love on the back end Xavier McKinney. They're gonna have some pieces, especially on the defensive line. They're gonna be able to get after a lot of teams and stay in close games. Here's the thing about the Giants: they were bad last year, but they were in a lot of one score games.
Yes,
it's not like they were getting blown out every single week. If I'm looking at a team in the NFC specifically, I'm saying, well, maybe they're not going to be as bad as people think they'll be. It's going to depend on, I think, in terms of what Russell Wilson does for them, is he, I think, raises their floor quite a bit. He's not going to turn the football over. He's probably not going to throw the football any other than those, arm punts. But it's why I wonder if Jackson Dart gets a real opportunity. Because I think if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, if you are on your last breath here, you don't want to essentially go out this season. I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. But if they're going to go out, do you want to go out swinging with Russell Wilson or the guy you drafted?
Well, that's my thing. You traded back into the first round to go get him. And that's my thing. I think if they win 6 to 8 games and Dart continues to look better and better and better, not great, but better. And he looks good and he's got good chemistry with Malik Nabers, they'll keep their jobs. And they won't do that if they play Russell Wilson for most of the season and they win 6 to 8 games. They won't keep their jobs then. They will likely be fired before the season ends. They can get there with a rookie quarterback. It's I think, a lot of times bad because you will get fired. Look at the Bears with Nagy and then Eberflus kind of both doing it, having that rookie quarterback that year and then being fired during the rookie year because the team was bad. Dable, though, I think can really work with Dart, get the most out of him, and could save his job. And yeah, I mean, they've set up the defense. You have one of the best receivers in football already, Malik Nabers, to help Dart. And you have the offensive guru in Dable, they got to the playoffs with Daniel Jones throwing 15 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
And if they've got that elite defensive line,
maybe a team in the NFC takes a step back. Maybe the NFC North just kills itself. I mean, maybe that's just it's a war zone out there, and they can kind of sneak in. I'm not saying they are, but there's always a team that surprises us that makes the playoffs. We all thought the Vikings, you know, this time last year were going to be terrible, and they end up going to win 14 games. Not saying that's the same for the Giants. But if Dart hits the ground running and is a pretty darn good rookie quarterback, not even saying elite or historically good rookie, which we've seen a few years in a row here, why not? I mean, I think they keep their jobs, and I love how the defense looks. They're going to get after teams. And in those one-score games, if you can get off the field on third down and have a go guy like Malik Nabers, who if Dart can just get him the ball, they can win some games. Their division's tough, but they might be better than Dallas today.
The Patriots make their pick in their selection at 106. They take safety Craig Woodson, from the University of California. And a name that is certainly down my list here, and I just there's a lot of really good safety still on the board. I'm wondering, what about Billy Bowman Jr. teams are hesitant of?
Mm-hmm.
He's a top five player at the position, or at least in my opinion and in Dane Brugel's opinion. I liked him a lot. I know the Bills brought him in on a bunch of visits.
Yeah.
He could be there for the Bills here coming up to 132.
That's my wonder, too. I mean, we're talking a lot about wide receiver, but if he's all of a sudden there at, say, pick 120.
Yeah, go up and get him.
Go up and get him, and that might be where.
Take one of your fifth-round picks that you have three of in the next. Again, there's three of them in seven spots.
Right, like you can do it.
You can do it.
But I think that's also where we got there with Landon Jackson yesterday in the third round, where all of us were kind of like, he's a super Billsy pick and probably their best guy on their board by maybe quite a margin. And so they took him. Maybe Bowman's the same thing, where if he's there at 120, go up and get him. He's the best player on your board and at somewhat a position of need.
Can we redefine that a little bit? Because this year it has been something a little bit of the antithesis of what they do. The Bills have drafted pure athletes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something where, like, the Billsy pick, not necessarily this year. They've been definitely going for more upside, less floor, and they're excitable players that if they hit the potential, they're going to be hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we haven't had for the Bills in a fairly long time now.
No, they've gone for high floor, some high ceiling guys, but I do look at the AJ Epinesa draft, Boogie Basham a few years ago, where it was like, what are you really getting out of this? What's the hope there?
Yeah.
They're going for high-end athletes. But even still, to Landon Jackson's point, we all were kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, you're going to take him. He looks like a Bills pass rusher.
We all
it looks
wanted what, someone what else, want. And they ended up taking the guy that we all were like, yeah.
That's fine.
It's probably the guy they're going to take.
That's fine.
But
there were periods throughout the year where it was, oh, he could be taken at 30. Oh, he could be taken one of their second-round picks. They get him in the third. I mean, that might be my favorite pick value-wise the Bills have had so far.
Value is value at that point, and you absolutely go and get a player like that.
Ooh, okay. I like this pick at 107 for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I wonder
why.
Their
pick is in linebacker Jack Kaiser from Notre Dame.
There it is.
To me, you know, their linebacker situation – he's going to walk off the bus with a very high floor. He's going to be a guy for the Jacksonville Jaguars that can start on special teams for him. He's also, if they make him into like a third down rushing linebacker,
I think we were just seeing a highlight here now against Virginia.
A ton of skill as a rush linebacker, but also can be an every down will, I think, in the NFL. He's not a Mike linebacker, but absolutely can play will in the league, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's pressing for playing time early in his career in Jacksonville. Player I like a lot.
Well, I mean, and that's Notre Dame defensive players. They're going to come in with a very high floor. The potential may not be there. I love the program Marcus Freeman, though, has got there with Notre Dame. That defense was one of the best units in football.
And they were coached under an NFL scheme.
Is it Al Golden?
Al Golden.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's going to be something, too, that you have an NFL coach that was coaching him up. Teams are going to love that.
Yes.
Where they can come in, and that was a big part. I mean, in Nick Saban's heyday, of course, Alabama had the best athletes, but teams like to get those guys too because it was like, okay, you've gone through the NFL system. You know what we're talking about. You know what we expect. And that was a big thing. Now, a lot of Alabama was they squeezed every last bit out of you, so they came in nearly ready-made prospects, so the potential wasn't really there. You kind of knew what you were going to get. Where with Notre Dame, it's sort of the same thing. There's a very high floor. You know what you're getting, and you mentioned it, Nate. I mean, as a fourth-round pick, he could come in and maybe start day one on special teams and be a situational kind of pass-rushing linebacker for him.
And especially with Jacksonville, they've had themselves – I do like the draft that they've had. You obviously make the big splash – moving up to go get Travis Hunter. but you've still been able to sprinkle in picks here every now and then. You add another running back to a position that really has underwhelmed. Ooh. And what are we ooing here?
The Raiders pick. We'll get to there in a second. Sorry,
okay.
Continue. I'm sorry.
But you then add a player that could threaten to start for you on a linebacking core that is kind of weak.
Yeah, they need help on defense.
They need help on defense in that side, like in that portion of it, I think. Jacksonville, you made the biggest splash, and you're still trying to sprinkle in a couple more picks with what you have left.
And on that Hunter trade real quick, too, I fully agree with Mike Schoep. He said it yesterday, and I hadn't thought about it at the time, but like that trade is legendary.
The trade is legendary, but now, like thanks to the national media, it's been overshadowed a lot.
But I think for like
we're not talking enough about the splash that has been made about that trade.
But I think if it hits, and I do think it'll work, because I think Travis Hunter is a generational prospect. We talked to Sal Capaccio about it, and he's with that too. Hell of a first move by James Gladstone. Like, hell of a first move, baby.
Yeah.
And to kind of cement yourself, I believe, in kind of draft lore history, hell yeah. Way to get after it. Way to add that guy. And his speech about him, like, too, during his introductory press conference, number one, felt staged.
Who cares if it's staged?
But it's fine because it hit where he's like, you know, Travis Hunter, like, exudes hope. He exudes belief, like in terms of a fan base. And I'm like, let's go, baby. Let's go. So the Raiders pick Deontay Thornton Jr., the big wide receiver out of Tennessee, 4.3 speed, 6.5.
That's a little bit of an ouchie.
Reminds you of a DK Metcalf type guy, but really his thing is I run deep and I run fast. I mean, that's kind of what he does.
6'4", 4'3", 40. This is that peak Vegas or peak Raiders draft.
This is an Al Davis pick right here.
This is a spiritual Al Davis pick. Yes.
This is exactly what this is.
This is a guy who gets you downfield, creates separation through his speed, and hey, you know what? Good for the Raiders.
Did they take another receiver in this draft too? Oh, yeah. Besh.
Jack Besh.
So they're getting they needed outside receivers.
And receivers as a whole to pair with Brock Bowers.
I've loved their draft.
It's been good.
I've loved their draft.
Well, the thing, this is about this draft. You and I have been talking about it for months now of this is a deep draft. There's going to be a very, what? The Bills have
traded with Chicago again with Chicago. They have traded with Chicago.
The besties this year.
The Bills are now on the clock. Yeah. I think this is for Royals.
Oh,
another receiver went off the board. I think this is for Royals.
They had the visit with him?
Yep. Yeah.
This is Royals or Bowman?
Royals, Bowman, or another receiver they did have in.
Or Paul.
Torrey Horton. Paul. So, I don't think it'll be for Paul. I think it's going to be, and the pick maybe is in. We'll get here in just a moment.
They jumped quick.
Yeah, so
wait, how about this? This is the pick they traded to the Bears.
Oh, my God, it is.
It is. So they've traded
it's 109.
So they've traded with the Bears twice in this draft, including getting a pick back that they already had.
That's funny.
Please trade 240.
There you go, Brandon.
Please trade 240. Please trade 240. Come on. That's my biggest hope now. It's not about the fact of who they go get. It's trade. Right. Get rid of the seventh.
I'm going to say it's between three players. I think two wide receivers, Jalen Royals or Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, two guys they had on private visits, or Billy Bowman, the safety. I love this. It's another big jump up, too. They were at 132. They're now at 109.
Okay, so
draft
the Bills.
Board manipulation. What did I say last week, Zachary?
There we go.
Draft board manipulation.
Let's go.
I'm trying to see.
This is a big deal.
I'm not getting anything yet on what the compensation is.
Until we do, I'm just going to keep going on this about how they were really able to work the board this year to do what they wanted to do. And the Bills oftentimes would use a fourth-round pick, weaponize it to get into the third round. They did that this year. But now they go ahead and they move themselves up in order to make a selection. I'm excited to see what they end up going with here, but it's more or less, I'm impressed with the fact that the Bills, they are aggressive with this draft. They are trying to find their way to get the players that they want.
All right, let's go live to the stage now because we're going to carry this pick live from Green Bay.
The Chicago Bears have traded the 109th pick to the Buffalo Bills.
With the 109th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Deion Walker, defensive tackle, Kentucky.
Wow.
So they get the big one tech.
Welcome to the beef wagon.
They get the big one tech.
Another SEC defender.
So
Zach is not thrilled.
As I was saying, I don't think Dwayne Carter's on this team.
There's too much of one asset. This is you now get the player that a lot of people were asking for in terms of you needed a player
that
had that side. They have their anchor. They have their one tech. We did hint that maybe they weren't done doing this, but now it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game.
It is a numbers game.
They
are defensive tackle.
4-for-4, though, with SEC defenders.
Yes.
Two at Kentucky, but 4-for-4 SEC defenders.
Walker, though.
Man.
6'7", 328.
Yeah, he's the pad a levels, big guy.
The pad level's a little bit of a concern, but that's what happens when you're 6'7". Sometimes you're not going to have all the leverage.
I'm curious to see what Brandon Bean says about this, especially
he's when surprisingly athletic for his size.
But when we were talking, it was like, yeah, Dwayne Carter might start at one. And then the very next pick, he's like, yeah, maybe not. But I'm with Nate. It's a numbers game. Someone is not going to be on this
roster. I'm not worried about the numbers game at this point. It is, you saw another player that you coveted.
Yeah.
And you took the opportunity to go get him. And this fits something that we've been talking about for months, Zach. It
does. And you know what?
I'm not about to be a hypocrite.
And Walker in the fourth round is good value, I think.
It's good value. It's the depth of the defensive tackle position. You saw another player that could be that guy. Deion Walker, I approve of this message.
I just wanted Royals so bad.
I know you do. Give up on wide receiver, everyone. It's okay.
Do we know the compensation yet? Has that been reported?
No.
Yeah, now I'm wondering, how many picks they've got. I mean, that's a big move up from 132 to 109.
I would imagine we'll take the next 5 minutes to figure that out.
Yeah, we are running late.
We probably should have ourselves a break.
All right, good call. All right, let's take a timeout. 803-0550 if you want to react to the latest Bills pick. Deion Walker, a giant 6'7", 331-pound defensive tackle. A lot of implications of what this could mean. We'll have him live in his Zoom conference. We'll hear from Sal Capaccio as well. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. All right, welcome back. WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. The Bills get their big guy.
I'm happy.
6'7", 330 pounds. So a big, big interior defensive lineman to add to TJ Sanders that they took early yesterday and day two. We're a few moments away from hearing his live comments after being drafted. We'll also hear from Brandon Bean later on today. We'll hear from Sal Capaccio this hour as well.
We do have the trade compensation as well. It's actually just
very
a
cheap
swap of fourth round picks, and the Bills then also give up a fifth round pick, 169.
So if you pair cheap the deals together that they've done with Chicago and total it up, the Bills pretty good coming up on top on this one. I like Deion Walker because of the fact that with Sanders and Walker now, you have immediate rotational guys, and they're each going to allow Ed Oliver to do his thing in their own unique ways. Sanders has the ability to be a pass-rushing guy. You unleash both of them on third down and like third and 16.
Yeah.
Walker is going to be a guy that's more of your run support guy. It allows Ed Oliver to try to be aggressive, get upfield, which was a problem last year of he's getting too aggressive, like not too aggressive, but like he's the one getting upfield, and then there's a massive hole because there's no blocks being absorbed.
It's just I worry he is a slower player at his size. His pad level's not great. He's a fourth round pick for a reason. So the positives there are the fact that he's 6'7", 330. And he could be that guy that, yeah, like Derek, you're right. When he's on the field with that Oliver, he's the space eater.
He's
the guy that's
going to
let Ed go. But I mean, that's what you draft in the fourth round, though. You draft the rotational guy.
Guy here. And you take two D-tackles in a loaded D-tackle.
All right, here's Deion Walker, the Bills' newest defensive lineman.
Sir.
Hey, Deion, John Scott from the NBC affiliate here in Buffalo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your interactions like with the Bills throughout the pre-draft process?
I would say it was nothing but great things, you know. I feel like I've grown a real relationship with Coach West, Coach Babich, and Coach Nielsen. I can say nothing but great things about the whole Buffalo Bills staff.
And clearly, there's a Kentucky train coming here with Ray Davis, then Max Hairston, and now you. what have your conversations been like with Max, maybe since even being selected, and Ray after spending his first year here?
Man, Max, I know Max told me as soon as he got drafted, he was standing on the table for me. But, you know, nothing but great guys. You know, I call Max and Ray are like my brothers, you know. A band of brothers, you stick together, can't nobody stop you. So, you know, it's just great to be back teammates with them guys.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Alex Brasky, Batavia Daily News. Congratulations. This team had a need at the defensive tackle entering the draft. They've now taken a couple of them. What do you feel you can bring to the table in terms of helping them rework that group?
Like, I'm just going to come in every day with my head down, ready to work, you know. I'm just going to try and pour as much as I can, learn as much as I can from the vets, and, you know, do whatever I can for the team, no matter what.
And you were a two-time team captain at Kentucky. What's your leadership style? What do you feel stands out in that regard?
I feel like my leadership style is kind of different. I'm more of a get-to-know-the-player, you know, the person, or get-to-know-the-person, not the player. You know, just get good relationships with a lot of, or most of the guys on the team, hopefully all of them. And, you know, if they do end up having a bad day, they have been slacking, if some has been happening, you know, be able to have that relationship to be able to come and talk to them and they not take it as disrespect. That's the biggest thing for me.
Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hi, Deion. Sal Capaccio here, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not only a couple of Kentucky players, but now four defenders, all from the SEC. How has playing in that league prepared you, and what do you think about joining so many of your conference mates in Buffalo?
I feel like, hold on, actually Ray's calling me right now. Hold on. But, you know, the SEC is the toughest conference in college football by far. You know, I feel like the SEC has the most NFL ready guys. You know, it's just the conference of pure grit. So I feel like that shaped a lot. That shows a lot to NFL teams that, hey, the SEC is where you want to go if you need some big guys, you know. So I feel like having a lot of people coming in from the SEC is a great thing. You know, we're going to have stuff to bond over, except for like TJ Sanders, you know, South Carolina, we got a big rivalry.
What do you know about Buffalo? Anything about the city itself? Anything about just watching the from afar?
I don't really know that much. I'm excited to learn. I know Ray gonna show me a few things. I do know that Buffalo hates ranch. They love blue cheese. So that's going to have to be something I got to get used to, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you something about Buffalo that I think you'll be interested in. We love our bowling up here. And I read that you are an avid bowler. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We got a lot of bowling alleys up here. People love their bowling up in Buffalo. So there you go, man. You're going to fit right in to come up here. Tell me about your bowling background.
Started bowling like for real in high school, you know, everybody used to just go with friends, stuff like that. But, me and my friends are all competitive. Like, we are. It's in our heart. So, you know, we do a little $5 on the game. And then we do 20, 30 push-ups, 50 push-ups. All right, if I beat you, you got to ride in the back seat. You know, stuff like that. And then I got my first ball, I want to say, in 2021. And then it was just taking off ever since. You know, I averaged, like, I want to say around a 210, 220. My highest game was like a 289. So.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you fit right in that regard. Congratulations again, and we'll see you up here.
Thank you.
Okay, Deion, Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News. Congratulations. You are from Detroit. Who was your team growing up?
I didn't really have a team growing up, you know. Growing up out of high school, this, you know, the NFL has been my dream, you know. And one thing everybody knows about the NFL, you don't know get picked by, you know? So in that regard, I've never really tried to have like my own team, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Yep. You weighed 331 at the combine. What was your playing weight during the season?
My playing weight was around 345.
Okay. And I read where you found out during the season you had a fracture in a vertebrae. Just tell us about that. And where does that stand?
Yeah, I had a pars defect in my back. It came on before the season, my last season. I didn't know about it until after the season. Really until the combine, we didn't really know what it was, but, I feel 100% right now, you know, I'm ready to get out there and play.
And you only missed one game in your whole career, just kind of, you know, I presume you take pride in being available and, you know, what do you think about that?
Yes, sir. You know, I love the game. I love playing football, you know, I'm gonna do whatever I can to make sure that I'm out there playing football, you know, like everybody wants me, you know, no matter what it is, getting more time in with the trainers, cold tub, hot tub, look contrast, it don't matter. If something I broke, I can play, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Hey, Deanne, Catherine Fitzgerald from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was wondering first, is there anyone you model your game after, or who would you compare yourself to?
I would compare myself to Kalea. So I try to take a lot of stuff out of his game and Dexter Lawrence. Those are my main two.
Nice. And then just what was this weekend like for you? Like today, who have you been watching with and what's been going on? Just kind of the atmosphere.
I've been watching with a lot of people, all of my family, my girlfriend, her family, some friends from high school, you know, friends that I grew up with, friends that I've met at Kentucky. You know, everybody's here. The emotions are high. As soon as they heard my name, my mama just started crying, you know. So it just warms my heart that she don't got to worry no more.
That's awesome. Congratulations. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, Deanne. Nick Sabato from the Niagara Gazette. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Circling back to your back injury, what was it like kind of playing through that last year?
It was hard, you know. It's anybody with a back injury knows how it feels, you know. There were some days where I could feel 100%, some days where, hey, I could barely get out of bed, you know. Some days where I couldn't even get in my stance, you know. So it was really hard, but we've been working on the little muscles in my back, working my core, stuff like that, trying to alleviate the inflammation in my back, and I feel good now.
What was the rehab for that?
It's just working the little muscles in your core. It's a certain muscle that wraps around from your stomach to your back. It's a lot of doctor word that I don't know, but yeah, just getting that stronger. And that's going to alleviate the stress that's on my spine, basically.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah, you mentioned. Tyler, going with go long. You mentioned Calais.
You're muted, I think.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Tyler, done with go long. You mentioned Calais Campbell.
Yes, sir.
What do you like about his game? He's been playing forever, and what's the key to kind of maintaining your leverage? There aren't many 6'6", 6'7", you know, interior D linemen. How would you kind of break down your game and how you kind of win at the point of attack?
How would I break down my game and compare it to his, or like what I take from his?
Sure. Yep.
I say using his hands, you know, he is all a 6'7", what, 310, but he has his hands are flawless. His hands been flawless for years now. For the longevity, hey, that's just getting in when everybody else isn't, you know, like that's investing money into your body, you know. But as for like pad level, I'm going to be doing a lot of bear crawling, a lot. Shout out, Coach.
All right, that is the new Bills defensive tackle, Deion Walker. We're going to take a timeout on the other side. I'll have Derek run through the recent couple of picks since the Bills picked at 109. We've had six picks since, so we'll go through that here coming up. You're listening to our 2025 coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. All right, welcome back to WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. And our coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group. Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by the Quilted Squirrel, great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. We've had a bunch of picks, including a trade-up of a future third to get a fourth-round pick by the Houston Texans. Not sure what the hell they're doing. Multiple wide receivers, now a running back. But let's get 110 through 116, shall we, Derek?
110 to 116, let's do this
thing. Let's go to 17 because they just got off the board.
This is a running back round right now, as a matter of fact. There was obviously Scataboo earlier on in the fourth round. But after the Deion Walker selection, we had the Jets taking wide receiver Arian Smith out of Georgia. Ty Robinson, defensive tackle out of Nebraska, going to the Eagles at 111. So the Bills probably trying to get past the Eagles to get Deion Walker, it looks like. Danny Stutsman, linebacker from Oklahoma at 112 to the New Orleans Saints. C.J. West, defensive tackle out of Indiana to the 49ers at pick 113. Trevor Etienne, running back out of Georgia, going to Carolina at 114. And that would just start another little run of running backs here. Cody Simon from Ohio State, linebacker to Arizona at 115. That breaks up the running backs because now Houston trading a third-round pick next year to get into the fourth round for USC running back Woody Marks. And then the Rams just casually sitting right there going, yeah, we'll take one as well with Jarquez Hunter out of Auburn. There is the recap of what's happened since the Bills have picked.
So, yeah, a run on these running backs, and I have never heard of a team trading a future third-round pick for a mid-fourth-round pick.
Yeah, it's not good. Now I'm kind of interested to look at, like, where were the Texans originally picking at that point? Because that seems a little irresponsible, I would say. Churlish, even.
All right, the Falcons on the clock. Pick is in, and
they don't have a fifth-rounder, so that probably played into it. It's like you have no leg to stand on.
Wow, another safety from Atlanta.
Ooh. Atlanta's just going all defense.
Bowman
and Watts.
Mm.
Billy Bowman.
It's good value is what it is. It's good value from the Falcons.
And the Falcons are not scared. They just want to take everything defense this year. So, yeah, Watts and Bowman going to Atlanta.
All right.
Two of the top five safeties going to the same team. That's kind of interesting.
Let's take a timeout. We'll get you caught up on any picks you missed. On the other side, we'll start the 1 o'clock hour here as the Bills already picked, traded back up to 109 after trading 109 yesterday. So we'll get you updated on when they pick next. That's all coming up next here on our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold press orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.